I was somewhere who was a man was preaching. So I was believing God for breakthrough, breakthrough. Then a door opened and they said he should come to either Cameroon or Benin Republic or something. He said, that's not the kind of breakthrough he's talking about. How can I leave Nigeria and go to another Nigeria? You know that kind of thing. that's the kind of mindset. So then he got an invitation to France. He said, yes, the Lord is on the throne. On the throne of France or where? You pray that kind of prayer, at least now you have found out, you are praying in sin. Because if you wanted open doors, I always tell people, doors, you want open doors. Doors, the country that has the largest open doors in this world is Nigeria. I can prove that one to you from experience, not from scripture. What do I mean? Go to the other African countries around, especially these Francophone countries. You need a license to do almost anything. In Nigeria, you just rent a room and put it there. Jesus Christ has come. Ministries. Nobody will ask you any questions. Some people actually come there. Say, is it true Jesus has come here? Telling you. Nobody will. That's number two. And we also have a lot of sinners. We have a lot of people who go to church who don't believe. Which open door are you looking for again? But I'm not discussing ministry now. I'm just as an example. So that we are careful that we don't persist in doing that which is against the will of God. That is what is called walking in sin. Making it a habit. All right? Now, please, I hope I'm making my point clear. All right? So that you find out that, what is the fear of God? Let me just quickly go back to it. The fear of God literally means to fear offending God. That's just what it means. It literally means that I don't want to do that which is wrong in his eyes, lest I walk into judgment. That's exactly what fear means. It means that if I do this, I will sin against God. That was what Joseph said. Joseph is the best example for me in defining what constitutes the fear of God. Potiphar was not going to be there. Mrs. Potiphar had guaranteed secrecy. But the man says, the eyes of the Lord. Hey. They are everywhere. God sees things that you, what you think is a wall. It is not even glass to God. That this is more transparent than glass. Joseph understood that the very thoughts of my head is as if CNN is sounding it loud for him to hear. That the thoughts that are inside my heart. So if, David said like this, he said, let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart be acceptable. That is the things I'm thinking in my heart. God, let them be right. Because the thoughts have been heard. That is what it means to fear God. Actually, this is the continuation of what I was discussing last time. Okay, but I just laid one emphasis to let us know that there is no excuse for any Christian to be in bondage to sin. Every true Christian, true one, is going to heaven except he renounces his Lord. So that man, if I heard that one, said that woman was a good Christian all her life. Just went to market and fought. After fighting, went to cross the road. A car just killed her and she died. Said, listen, that's it. All her Christianity has been wasted. She has gone to hell. I said, some of you think that God is so stupid. You're looking for children to send to hellfire. I've established that already. No, it's not like that. What happened to that woman? She went to heaven. Husband, are you sure? Yes, God said, this your trouble is too much for the earth. Come to where there's no fight. Here, there's no fighting or gnashing of teeth. No anger. Nobody to vex with. That was what God did to him, to that woman. The very thing that happened to Moses. You know the story of Moses? Moses did something that annoyed the Lord. The Lord said, I don't want to go into that now. Go and listen to our series. The survival and the death of Moses, all right? God looked at Moses and said, it is enough. You have started doing what is bad. So because Moses sinned, because of his sin, he was withdrawn from the earth. God didn't send him to hell, even though his withdrawal from the earth was based upon his error, his sin, his iniquity. So we must understand that. God is a good God. There's one man, I heard the story. I won't mention his name, even though I know who the story is about. The Lord told the prophet and said, the man that is standing currently in the forefront of this move of the Spirit in your nation, I am going to remove him at the end of this particular year. So by the time the following year comes, that man will be gone. You fellows won't see him anymore. Say why? He said, because he's leading the body of Christ astray. That was sin. Can you imagine leading people astray by teaching wrong doctrine? There's a church I mentioned earlier that I said, in my own estimation, more than 80% of those who attend the Pentecostal church are not Christians. But do you know the interesting part? I am convinced the pastor, the head pastor, is a Christian. Sometimes you lead people astray. This man was leading Christians astray. And God said, this particular year, I'm going to remove him. And as a matter of fact, first, by understanding the scriptures, I know the man did not go to hell, he went to heaven. Number two, authentic prophets who have real visions of God, they have paid a visit to the other side and they have greeted him. We can't use that as doctrine, all right? But I'm telling you, I believe the things that they reported. Yet, he didn't die because the Lord was happy with him. He died because the Lord said, it's enough. You are causing me too much problems. The good works you have done is enough. Let's not spoil it. Come. What we fight in quote now, that is we labor hard, struggle for, is to make sure that when we get to heaven, if God gave us 100 doses of things to do, we did 100. What we are working for as believers is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Ah! Looking forward to that day. Say, Lord, how did I do? Thank you. There was one woman, Catherine Kuhlman. She said that when she would see the Lord, her own was very funny. Then it used to impress me, but now I think slightly differently, all right? But then you said the woman said, when she would get to heaven, she looked at the Lord and said, Lord, I tried. I don't know how well I did, but let me assure you of one thing, I tried. I did the best that I could. That's what we are working for as Christians. Listen, all these things you are pursuing in life, money, you know, fine house, motor car, jewelry, good name. It is not. That's what a scale, all right? It is, if you score it 0.001, okay, let's just say 1 to make it easy. If God gives you a smile and a nod, it's worth 1,000,000 times all the wealth of this world. For God to look and say, my girl, you tried. Do you understand? And when I'm talking about, I mean your spirit will get all the elation that people get, getting money, getting married, having children, doing this one, you know, all this excitement. Put together, your spirit will experience more than that when the Lord looks at you and says, well done, my good servant. That's what we are laboring for. That's why David said that. I would rather be a doorkeeper. Where God will look at me and say, my son, very good. And I'm going to dwell in the tents of iniquity. And what he meant by the tents of iniquity is where money is flowing. Everything is flowing. Wealth is flowing. All kinds of pleasures are flowing. He said, no, let me be a doorkeeper. One moment in your presence. That's what David said. Just one moment in his presence. That one is worth much more than any other thing a woman can experience on this earth. That's what we are laboring for as Christians. And whether we like it or not, I keep on saying, one day, this earth will actually pass away. It's painful. All the fine, fine houses will be left behind. No, just leave behind. That's if you go. When it passes away, have you ever burnt old paper before? You know paper? Newspaper. That is how Burj Al Arab was born. You know that fine £2 billion building? That everybody flies to Dubai, work for a whole year, stay for 2 years, and then fly to go and look. You can't go enter. That's how they will disappear. This is how this whole earth will disappear. Some of the people labor for. Look, when I hear some of the things that some of these politicians do, I say human beings are foolish. You kill your conscience, oppress people. Why? You want to buy a house in Victoria Island? God doesn't even need to take the earth away to remove your house. One small tsunami. And when the tsunami wants to come, God doesn't even come by himself. He sends one of these angels that smoke something. They just come and do like this on the ocean. Bam! No, one angel will just come, put his foot down in the ocean. Bam! As the foot hits the floor, come, the thing cracks, water caves in. By the time it resurges like this, boom, 200,000 people are dead in Banda Aceh. That's a tsunami. You'll be laboring your life for things that one angel will blow. If an angel mistakenly sneezes, chia, on that house, it's gone. How are we laboring for it? Listen, spiritual things are real. Labor for the thing that endures to eternity. We're talking about the fear of God. Listen, there's a scripture I came with today. Let's read that scripture. Remember we read Psalm 34? And David, let me just quickly pass a few comments, then we'll go to the scripture I have for today. David was explaining, this is what it means to fear the Lord. Okay, that's where I want to pick up from. He said, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no... He said, for those who fear him, there is no want. There's a reason why David said that. And now please bear it in mind. The reason why David needed to tell people that is that one of the reasons why people don't fear God. Fearing God is an active thing. I should quickly say that again. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, his saints, he was emphasizing to us that fearing God is an active thing, not just an attitude of the heart. Remember last time we read, when we were talking about Isaac, that God was described as the fear of Isaac. You remember that? And if you remember what I explained, is that what was happening is that in the life of Isaac, people saw that there was a way he conducted himself that showed that he feared somebody they could not see. So Isaac would not shift the borders of the land because you are not present. Isaac would not weigh your money, your gold and silver wrongly by using dishonest scales, because he knew that God understood the real value of the weight that he was using. Isaac would not defraud you in any way. Why was Isaac not doing that? He would tell you that my God is watching me. So people call God the fear of Isaac. So fear is a practical thing. It's something that you do. It's not this reverential respect of God. That's why it has no meaning. It's not about reverencing. It's literally about fearing. Like my children will say, if you do that and daddy catches you. You know those kind of things? That's what we're talking about. That's what it is. It's a practical thing. So David was saying here that, listen, though, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. Even though the young lions lack and suffer hunger, those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of anything good. What was he trying to explain? One of the reasons why people walk in a manner that is not in consonance with the fear of God is because they are afraid of lack. Did you hear what I said? They are afraid of what? Of lack. That is why Christians will go into politics and they will be stealing money. This is my only opportunity to build a house. My only opportunity to have this. That is why Christians will join police and they too will be engaged in robbing people because of the power that God gave them. That is why Christians go to places, all right, and they participate in the iniquities of the people. Sometimes you talk to pastors, say, what do you mean? If we don't do like this, how do we get money? David said, there is no want for those who fear him. That's why David emphasized it. Because the major reason why people walk in no fear of God, remember, fear of God is a practical thing. It's not just an attitude of the heart. It's practical. The reason why people don't fear him is simply because they are afraid of something else. Let me just quickly get into that. That's what I want to get from the next scripture. We already connected it from here. They are afraid of something else. That is the major reason they don't fear God. Like I always say, people just don't disobey God. They obey something else. In the same manner, people just don't refuse to fear God. They fear something else. It is the something else they fear that is the problem. Sometimes people fear poverty. There's a story I tell once in a while. This happened when I was doing my national service, NYSC. I worked in the military barracks then as a the doctors. I met one doctor there. This young boy, it was, of course, he finished school a year before me, but it was in the previous batch, all right, of the year before. So we overlapped by some months. in a place of primary assignment, which was in the military barracks. There was something he said. He said, one of the cheap, lazy ways by which doctors make money is by terminating pregnancies. It's a procedure any trained doctor can learn in a few hours. Practice over a few days, make iniquity money for a very long time. It's a very simple procedure, especially early pregnancies. He said when he was a house officer, apparently a lot of his boys, then doctors are better paid now than those days. Those days, they were very horribly paid. They were extremely horribly paid. Very bad. One more salary that time could only buy a pair of Italian shoes. Good quality, but not top quality. Top quality, you put 5 months' salaries together. That was when I worked, so I can tell you. Yeah. In real terms, let me just give it to you in real terms. What it was like in today's terms is that you work at the end of the month, you're a freshly graduated medical doctor, your salary at the end of the month in today's terms is like 15,000 naira. Yeah, that's real. When I was earning 6,000 naira a month, dollar was going for 70 to 80 naira. So you can just calculate. Yes, it comes about down, you know, like 20,000 naira. By the time this time I was a resident doctor. You buy dollar, then we calculated my salary was about $70 a month. So let's get it. So people were poor. Forget people say money had more value than no who dash which doctor buy car for what. Your father didn't have money, you trekked. that's just how it was, all right? Now, this is why I'm telling all these stories, okay? So you won't find a lot of young doctors do that kind of thing today because generally they are better paid. The temptations are less, all right? That's a matter of fact. The temptations are less. But some of them still do it. Human beings are just greedy, okay? But this guy, when he was a house officer, he said to me, he was telling us, his friends, he's a good Catholic. And being a Catholic, a devout Catholic, he did not believe in abortion. You don't terminate a pregnancy once the Lord has placed it inside there. So he didn't participate. But when we're now doing NYSC, when one remote corner of Nigeria, one day one of the soldiers in the barracks told me that, I shouldn't worry, that when Dr. So-and-so goes, I will make money. So I'm like, wait, how is this stopping me from making money currently? Do you understand my point? He said, I shouldn't worry. I was wondering what he was talking about, and I explained to him that right now he handles all the cases. That once he goes, I will now be the only person remaining. So then, better I'll begin flow. That was when I understood that this, my friend, who will not touch terminating a pregnancy with a long pole, by the time he came for NYSC, that was all he did. What is the reason? It's what I'm talking about. Listen, your actions are controlled by some baseline principles of life. It is not, do I want to do this or don't want to do this? Do I not want to do this? It is what is really pushing me in life. He made a statement, which is what I'm using to preach this evening. He said the thing he fears the most on the earth is poverty. That was what this young man told me, also a young man that time, that what he feared most on this earth was poverty. I'll tell you one of the things I fear most. I don't know which one I fear. Apart from God, you know, God has a practical meaning now. If you ask me now, Bank, what do you fear most? I don't know. I think it's more like there are many things. One, I don't want to disappoint those who through me see God. One man was here the other day, was talking to me. He said he prays for me that people like me fall. He's in trouble. He said there are only two preachers in Nigeria he respects. So our security is important to him. When security, if they shoot me, kill him, that doesn't concern him. You can die and go to heaven. Do you understand my point? But to hear a bad story, either about my moral life or my ministry life, that's the one that concerns him. That's one thing. I'm just reasoning now. Another thing, this has been in my mind for a long time. I don't want to be in Enugu when God says, be in Oka. I don't want to be in Abakaliki when the Lord says, be in Owerri. I don't want to be running a ministry that God did not sanction. Honestly, the thing fears me. Are you getting what I say? But my friend said his greatest concern in life is that he must never be poor. I keep on telling you, as a Christian, there are things that must never be primary in your life. I said to the Lord when shortly after youth service, I said, let me be poor. I don't care. I said, the only thing that concerns me, if it's a bank, it'd be poor. Don't give me a wife. Suffering is easier if you're alone. I prayed it. I meant it. The day I married, I knew that I won't be poor in life. Because I said, because I told the Lord, you see, for me in Lagos, that John Boss. Hey, John Boss. In fact, when I used to come back from Winner's Chapel for after school of ministry, I preferentially used to take Molue. Didn't have a vehicle. So I, when I'm coming, I come with buses. Jump one bus, one downfall to another downfall. You know, from a dear rabbi, you trek to Mushin, Mushin, you take one, going to Shodo, Shodo, one to Yanapa, Yanapa, that one from church. That's how I used to do it. No, that was my round trip. I left my house by 6 in the morning. I used to get back around 9, 10 at night, going for school of ministry. Coming back, I had no problem. I preferably liked the Molues. You know why? The traffic in Lagos at that time, all right, is the people were going from Oshodi to Yanapaja. It's end of work. Do you understand? So the buses coming back from Yanapaja to Oshodi used to come empty. Do you understand? Those guys are blowing down empty. So I used to sit near the back. The breeze was godly, as if you were in the ocean. I still remember. The breeze would be blowing me like this, all distressed. I'll just stay like this. I had no problem with it. I told the Lord simply, you don't want to bless me financially? Honestly, I didn't care. And I'm not lying to you. I didn't care. I wanted to preach. I told him the problem of my life that time was who to preach to. When I got engaged, good! I caught this one. Sit down. The book of Hebrews chapter 5, let's analyze it. I gave my wife one Bible lesson every day during honeymoon. Every day. Now now I found you, she's now suffering. That time, that was the only congregation I had. But back to my friend's story. He said his greatest fear in life is what? Poverty. That was why David said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Don't fear poverty. There are things as a Christian, just tell God, this one, I am not afraid. Paul said, I have learned how to abound, I have learned how to abase. There's a mechanism for enjoying poverty. There's a principle, yes. All this one said that there's no light. When we were serving those days, no light was constant. There was never light. So how do you handle hot season you slept outside? You know, when you come there, when we're serving, when you go to Copper's Lodge, I remember one night I traveled. I was coming back. So when you go to Copper, you get to a village. There's no hotel. Even if there was a hotel, you get money. You don't have money. What did you all look for? One Achaba. Find me. Where's the Copper's Lodge? They drop you. This is where the Copper stay. Just go there. Hey, guys, you will recognize one or two people from camp. Please, I'm going back. It's night. Where do we sleep? They just brought food that they are eating. Gave me a portion. Time to sleep. They just shifted. You know what I say? It was a long mat. So, yeah, Doc, manage this side now. Thank you. I'm serious. You went to the back of the house, had a bath. Back. And those beds are nice. You know, have a bath and the angels are fanning you. Man of God. Man of God. What are you doing with jacuzzi when angel can find you? Listen, the pleasure of a man in the jacuzzi and the one the angels are fanning, the same thing. In fact, the ones the angels are fanning better. You cannot mistakenly be electrocuted. You can't fall and hit your head. And I finished, shared some food with the boys. They shifted for me on the mat and we lay down there. And everybody first found asleep. What woke us up was that the breeze now began to blow around 3 a.m. It was about to start raining. So, you know, the dust started rising on your face. We got up, guys, let's go inside. Roll our mat, go inside. Oh, God. If you have not gone through those things, you've not gone through anything. This is better than Dubai, my friend. Like a trip like that. Jesus, my friend. That's how you enjoy poverty. You will go and complain about what? This is an experience in life. It's a method for enjoying poverty. Somebody said, well, you don't have many children, you can't take them abroad. I said, for what? I bring abroad to them. It's called DVD. I pay DSTV for 1 month. They watch every corner. Nobody can travel to China, you know, to Europe and to United States, Africa in 1 weekend. Even if you have a private jet, it takes time to fly. But if I just pay DSTV 1 weekend, children, National Geographic. By the time they finish that weekend, they know what's the name of this, is it Kathmandu? They know where it is. Some of you don't even know where it is, see? I know where it is. They will know all rock formations.
My son Akinu, at the age of 5, he knew almost every animal that he would see. Why? Just watching Nigeria Wild. That's how to enjoy poverty. If you can't go for African safari in Kenya, bring African safari. Go to the market. 300 now. You see a DVD from China. Contain all the animals on the earth. Show your children. They will win Nobel Peace Prize. Don't worry. Paul said, I have learned how to abase. That's what I'm emphasizing. The greatest fear of the life of a Christian is separation from the will of God. This young man that day told me that his greatest fear in life was poverty. Because his greatest fear in life was poverty, the man did what he did not believe in. I said, there are elemental principles of life that control what you do. And these are the issues. What's your greatest fear? Quickly, let's open the scriptures. Now, don't forget that Psalm 34. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Why was David saying it? Many times, people are fearing something else. And that is what the problem is in their lives. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 8. The book of Isaiah chapter 8. I want to start reading from verse 9. He said, be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Guard yourselves, yet be shattered. Guard yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. I'm in verse 10 now, Isaiah chapter 8. State a proposal, but it will not stand. Why? Why is it that people will do all of these things? They will gather. It's because the Lord, he said, for God is with us. He said, this God, what did he say? Verse 11, for thus says the Lord. He said, for thus the Lord spoke to me with a mighty hand, or mighty power, and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people. How did he say it? In verse 12, he says, you are not to say, it is a conspiracy, in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. You are not to fear what they fear, or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy. He shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Oh, please, you must understand, these are prophetic words. Isaiah was not writing to Israel. He was writing to you. He was writing to me. He said, the Lord alone is the one you will fear. He shall be your dread. He said, then he shall become a sanctuary to boast the house of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. That is, these are the people persecuting Isaiah and co. And it will be a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, many will stumble over them, then they will fall and be broken. They will even be snared and caught. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. He said, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. When they said to you, consult the mediums and the spirits whose whisper and mutter. He said, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? He said, to the law and to the testimony. That's where you will go. He said, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. Let me stop here. I read all of this to put it in context, but the main scripture I want is verse 13. He said, for it is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy. It shall be your fear, and it shall be your dread. We have already explained what it means to fear him and to be in dread of him. It doesn't mean, let me quickly say this again. People say, no, Nasir, he's a loving father. You shouldn't fear him because he's a father. You know, we are Christians under the new covenant. We are children of God. We're not servants of God. The Lord is aware of that. If you even know in Israel, it was even more than children or servants, it was about wife. That is, he saw Israel as his wife. Yet he wrote these words. My explanation to you is that there are many aspects when you are looking at something. When you look at God, there is a father aspect. There is a master aspect. There is a judge aspect. There's an advocate aspect. Depending on what you are looking at, you must understand the context in which you are looking at the Lord.
In this case, to fear God is godly. To fear him is holy. What does it mean to fear him? To realize that he's somebody you don't cross. You don't mock him. You don't take his name in vain. You don't play all right with his grace. If he says, enter the promised land, make it the quest of your life to enter the promised land. Don't say, I'm not interested in the promised land. You don't reject the gift of God and go scot-free. If I give you something you don't like it, you let it be. If God gives you something you don't like it, you have rejected him. And Isaiah said, make sure you don't fear what other people fear. We are talking about the culture of Christianity. People should know that we don't fear what they fear. I said the other day, people will say to you, what are you doing in that country? They make it look as if Christians are not supposed to endure hardship. They say, the future for my children, I am more interested in pleasing God today, because if I please him today, the future of my children is guaranteed. He said, mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. People walk away from the plan of God for their lives because they claim that they're trying to secure a future for their children. That is why those children will not serve God. That's why their lives will not be straight. Because their father walked away from God to secure their future. That is called the lack of fear of God. Sometimes people fear their children more than they fear God. A man is making a choice. Why are you doing this? You know, when I get here, I can plan for my children. What about God's call over your life? Does it matter to you? I give my friend Pastor Corey as an example all the time because it's challenging. Went to Sokoto to start a church. He has four beautiful children, three boys and a girl. In the midst of this crisis, Islamic crisis, his friend said, please, come home. He said, no, I can't. They said, okay, send your children. He said, what will I say in church? That was him. He said, God has given me charge upon these people to shepherd them. I can't desert them because there's crisis. The day before presidential elections, we were in Nakura together. He was running back to get home because the election was not meeting him out of base. All the flights were booked. He took a taxi, got to Abuja at night. He said, next morning, on my way back to Sokoto. Why? Because he said, there is a call of God upon my life. I told you, if you are talking about visas and passport, he doesn't need a visa to go to the UK. He doesn't need a visa to go to the United States. Why? Because he carries a British passport. Him and all his children. When he was in university once, he said, then a lot of young elder ones had gone to the UK. He was a student at the University of Benin with me. By this time, I had left. He said one day was going on his senior ones in the UK. They were making arrangements to get his passport out so he could now leave Nigeria and come back to the UK. So he said, fine, no problem. Let's get the thing done. Then one day was talking to a brother. And that brother gave him the word of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll soon be leaving. I will have to leave school. I'm going to the UK and all of that. That one guy said, that's very nice. He said, just make sure it is the will of God. He said, as soon as the man said it, I knew it was not. He was a student. It wasn't as if he was having things easy and rosy. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not the will of God. People live life as if you were created for yourself. Like you say jokingly, as if God created you so you can go to Dubai. See women making choices on who they will marry based on who can give them a honeymoon in France. If they drown on the beach now, you wonder why God drowned somebody. God will say, foolishness brought them here. Foolishness. They did not ask me. They ran to Egypt for help. They did not ask me. Is that not the quarrel God has with people? These people run to Egypt for help. They never say, God, what do you have to say about it? He said, because we shall flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. He said, because of that, those who are running after you, they will be swift. The greatest fear a child of God must have is to be displeasing to God. Jesus saw the cross come. He said, what do I say? Father, deliver me from this hour. He said, I can't. But for this reason, I came to this hour. What is wrong with people? They switch off power two times. They said, I'm wrong with this country. I don't care. Take my light off for a year. As long as I have to deliver the word of God to people, I will stay there. men have kissed their wives and their children, bye-bye. Knowing they will never see them again, even though they had deliverance. Why? They say, we must stay here and preach the gospel. The man that was hearing the story told by Rabbi Zacharias, that day they drowned him for the gospel. He said, just to have one opportunity to talk to one of these communists, he put his wife and children on an American helicopter and kissed them bye-bye. We see in heaven. He died that day. Listen, this life is temporal. You can't be living as if this is all there is to existence. You live longer, this day, you live 100 years. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, for us believers, this is what they call the fear of God. For us to realize that, listen, we're not living for ourselves. Somebody sent us here. He's assessing how we live. He's assessing how we do. When we make judgments, when we make decisions based upon what we think will be his assessment. You don't just run to Egypt for help without asking him, Lord, is my help in Egypt? That's what it means to fear God. Many people, the problem is they fear other things. That's why I told the story of my friend. That's my colleague. He said his greatest fear in life is poverty. And I'm saying to you, that must never be the testimony of Christians. There is nothing wrong with being poor if that's what it takes to fulfill the will of God for your life. Nothing. After all, my friend, our brother Ziki, those of us who were in local with me, heard him say it. He said, poverty is not the absence of material things. It's the absence of contentment. That's what poverty is. There's one scripture I must read for those who make decisions about their lives. Let me read this one and we'll close with it. Literally, we'll close with that. Genesis chapter 49. In verse 14, we're speaking about Issachar. He said, Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was good, and that the land was pleasant, he said he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at first labor. Anytime we make decisions purely because of comfort, we'll always end up as slaves. That if you want to be a real free man, be a bond servant of Christ. When you fear what people fear, somebody said once that the greatest thing he just wants in his life, why he wants to go to America so he can own his own house and drive a brand new car. God has not made many fools more foolish than you, if you think like that. That your whole life is so you can live, own your own house and drive a brand new car. For your information, I have seen brand new cars catch fire. And they burn as well as old cars. The house you call your own can collapse and bury you inside. It's your own, so it's your grave. You don't make life decisions on stupid things like I want to own my own house and drive a brand new car. These are the things that send men into slavery. Let me end my message here. The greatest fear of the life of a Christian should not be any other thing but the Lord. I might found pleasing in his sight in all that I do. I hope I've made my point this evening. Let's bow down our heads and quickly pray that prayer. Just say, Lord, the greatest fear of my life is you. The greatest fear. The greatest fear. Say, you alone are my fear. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of poverty. You are just the one I fear. I don't fear any human being. The fear of man, the Bible says, brings a snare. Let's rise to our feet as we pray. Let's just take a minute and dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, I will walk according to your will. That's what just came to my mind. Just say, Lord, I walk according to your will. Thank you for your word today. Because it has set me free from the fear of every other thing.